Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGod'sWord@Bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other
ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into it.
Father, right now it's time for us to turn our hearts, our minds, and our souls to your word. We come today, Lord, asking you, Father, to speak, Lord, for your people need to hear from you. Speak, Lord. That we may know, Lord, that we didn't hear from a preacher, but that we've heard from God. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Forgive us of our sins. Wash us and cleanse us. Help us, Father, not to be distracted. Help us, Lord, to focus on your word. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. And amen. Bethlehem.
Thank you, Lord.
Bethlehem.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That is our theme throughout this year of 2012. We want to make him known. Throughout this month, we have been studying making him known through love and context in which love is supposed to be expressed the most is marriage. And we've been talking about love and marriage throughout this whole month. As we are challenging and as we let you know your relationships are evangelistic. Married folk, the word says that the mystery of marriage is that it is a reflection of Christ in the church. The man's love is reflected of a kind of love that is committed. And that's why marriage is meant to be forever. Because there's nothing that you can do to separate you from the love of God. So that's the great mystery in marriage. And the woman represents the church. A man's love is to literally sanctify her in the faith. Amen. We've been talking about that, but I've been led to do something a little different this morning. And I'm going to finish out this series this Wednesday, and I encourage you to come out. This morning, the Lord has placed upon my heart to share a message entitled, Speak Peace to the Storm. Speak peace to the storm. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Will you please stand in reverence to the word of God, stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the word of God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor,
or
neighbor, I'm going to stand on this word. I need this word. In Jesus' name. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. It's two slides. Coming from the NIV on three. One, two, three. disciples, let us go to the other side of the lake. So they got in his boat and set out. As they fell asleep, the squall came down on the lake,
so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger.
The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, we are going to drown. He got up and rebuked the winds and the raging waters. The storm subsided,
and all was calm.
Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. Who here have amazement? They asked one another, Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. And we're talking about today, speak peace to the storm. Speak peace to the storm. And we're going to look at all around 3 points as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. We're going to talk about let's go. We're going to talk about let's grow. And then we're going to talk about let's glow. Let's go, let's grow, and let's glow. We want Christians to know today that Christians should speak peace to the storms in life. Christians should speak peace to the storms in life. This morning is a very familiar text. Many of us know it and have read it throughout our Christian life, our Christian pilgrimage. It is a story about how Jesus told the disciples, let us go to the other side of the lake. And these were his words, let us go to the other side of the lake. But Jesus left some stuff out. He told them to go to the other side of the lake, but he didn't tell them about the storm. He didn't tell them about the storm. As a matter of fact, for the most part of the storm, he was silent. Some say that he was sleeping at the bottom of the boat. Jesus told him to go to the other side, fell asleep, and all of a sudden a storm hit. This wasn't just any storm. This was a storm that caused professional fishermen to panic. The text talks about the water, the boat being filled with water. But yet Jesus was at the bottom of the boat in the midst of the storm. So they had a brilliant idea. They would go down and they would wake him up. And when they woke him up, he got up and he just spoke to the storm. He just got up and spoke to the storm and really rebuked them like they were, had issues. It seemed to him that he was kind of mad because they woke him up. It's hard to wrap your mind around this circumstance. But it reminds me of what used to happen when I was in school. When many of you are in school, or when I was in seminary. The beginning of the class period, or as we started the tests, generally the professor or the teacher would tell us that there would be pop tests. Some of you don't know what a pop test is. That's just when you have probably not prepared. You show up in class, and the professor tells you, or the teacher tells you, to put everything away. It's test time. Put everything away, and it is a pop test. It is a surprise to you most of the time. Because most of us don't know how to really take a pop test. And the only way that you can really pass a pop test is that you have to stay ready. Or stay studied up. Because they generally warn you, or the teacher has a reputation of giving pop tests, just testing willy-nilly. All right. Out to blue. And when you get this pop test, you're either ready or you're not ready. And you generally either pass or you fail. It's a pop test. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor. Pop test. And it seems to be that in this life, Jesus tells us as Christians that you're going to have what? Tribulation, pop test, thank you somebody. These are pop tests, these are tribulations, some things that just overtake you out of the blue all willy-nilly. It is a pop test. And generally doing the pop test, guess what? The teacher is silent. The teacher who would be up there teaching and telling you and trying to communicate to you and trying to put some, as the old folk used to say, some learning in you. That same teacher that teaches you during a pop test, the teacher is silent. Hello, somebody. And the teacher won't help you. When you take a pop test, you can't ask the teacher nothing. You can't say, teacher, what's the answer to number one? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But don't you know that some folk here within this congregation, you are in a pop test. Ask your neighbor. Neighbor. Her neighbor. Is it you? It's a pop test. And this pop test has overtaken you. This pop test has confused you. This pop test has what my speech teacher and Dr. Gilbert used to use this fancy word that discombobulates you. It is a pop test. He said, preacher, I'm discombobulated just by hearing the word discombobulation. So could you please tell me what it means? It means to be, confused. It means to be in a place. I preached a sermon many years ago entitled, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And you're here today in this sanctuary. You've gone through a pop test, or you're going through a pop test, and you don't know what to do. You're confused. You're discombobulated. It seems like that you are losing at this game called life. Hello, somebody. You can't score. You can't even get your hands on the ball. Well, nobody give you a chance. And you're in the middle of a pop test, and you're wondering, where is God? Hello, somebody. And if you're here today and you've been wondering, where is God in this circumstance? Where is God in this tribulation? Where is God? And if God, if you can't discern who God is and where he is, then most likely it's a test. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, it's a test. I believe yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before that, they put the siren on. It began to ring. It was clear. It was clear outside. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm in Oklahoma now. I can't, you know. In Dallas, you cannot pay attention to the weather. But in Oklahoma, you better pay attention. So I'm looking up and wondering, now, why is the sirens going off? Why are the sirens going?
It's bright and sunshiny outside, but that don't mean a storm in here. Why is the alarm going off? So I was trying to figure out why, but it turned out that it was just a test. Hello, somebody. Right now, some of you right now, you're going through a test. And you want to know where God is? Let me tell you where God is when you go through a test. God is smack dab in the middle of it all. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But you can't discern him. You can't see him. You can't. Wait a minute. God is right there. He's right there with you. Hello, somebody. Oh, and what it said in the text, Jesus said, let's go. In this verse, it said, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Oh, he said, let us go. He didn't say, you go.
Let us.
Hello, somebody. He said, let us go. And God is saying that, in the middle of this test, I was the one that put you there. I'm the one that's giving you this pop test. Let us go. To the other side. There was no stipulation that they wouldn't make it to the other side. He didn't say, let us go die in the midst of the storm. As a matter of fact, the storm seemed to be insignificant. Ooh, let me tell you something. Somebody didn't get it. The storm seems to be insignificant.
Yeah.
It was so insignificant that Jesus didn't even mention it. Ooh, let me say that again. Somebody ain't getting it. Somebody ain't getting it. Let me tell you, let me put it in your lap. The storm that you're going through right now, that you think is going to take your life, that is making you want to take your life, that has got sickness in your body, that's got sickness in your family, that's got your marriage seems like it's about to fall apart, that's got your bank account in the negative, that very same storm, to God, it is insignificant. Ooh. I said, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know this agony that I'm facing. You don't know, preacher, that I can't sleep at night. You don't know, preacher, that I can't get peace in my heart, in my mind, nowhere. You don't know what I'm going through, preacher. How can you say that it is insignificant? Yeah. Hello, somebody. It's insignificant because God, at least in the sex, he didn't mention it. What do you mean? It's insignificant. He said, let me tell you why it's insignificant, because he said,
all right.
Let us, hello somebody, and the question is, do you have an us relationship with God?
Hold on.
Let me say that again. Do you have a us relationship with God? Oh, because if you don't have a us relationship with God, then maybe you probably need to panic. Let me say it again. If you're used to doing things on your own and pulling yourself up by your own bootstrap, like the old folk used to say, if you're used to doing that, if you're used to being all alone, if you're used to being captain of your ship, if you're used to it being your way or the highway, if you're used to leaving God out in your decision-making process. That's what we talked about in the marriage series. When there's an us in marriage, there's an order in the marriage. As they try to teach us at Sunday school, and I've been teaching, and it's been hard teaching to take for many, because there's a order of things, and we tend to do direct opposite of what God has called us to do. But that's all right, and that's okay. If we are Christians, are going to have to do what we're going to talk about in point number two. Christians have to grow.
Right.
Hello, somebody. And you've got to grow into a us relationship with God as opposed to a I relationship with that unholy Trinity. He said, preacher, what's that unholy Trinity? That unholy Trinity is me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Oh, God says to somebody, he's saying, oh, that which you're in right now is a pop test. I said, let's go. And you decided to go. And because you decided to go, there's a us in that situation. You were doing what I told you to do. And because you're doing what I told you to do, guess what? There's an us in this thing. And it's us that's in this relationship. You see, I like being in relationship with God because God is way bigger than I am. Hello, somebody. A storm to him, a storm to God is insignificant. He won't even tell you about it. You know, sometimes we as Christians, you know, we get so close to God, we think God's going to tell us everything. Now, God ain't going to tell you everything. Hello, somebody. Yeah, God ain't going to tell you everything. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And that kind of bothers me because, you know, I say I'm a mouthpiece, you know. God, I'm a mouthpiece for you. I speak and I share your word all the time. And a lot of stuff I don't know because he don't tell me. I'm an instrument. Hello, somebody. Even some of the words that I say from this sermon, my sermons, I don't even plan to say them. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to say when I get up here. He say it's evident preaching by the way you preach. But I don't know. But when there's an us in the situation, I don't have to know. Yeah, some people say the ignorance is bliss. Because, you know, ignorance is bliss, and I don't have to know everything. Even as a pastor, you know, we get a God-like complex. We got to know everything that's going on. I'm not God. Hello, somebody. And I don't know everything that's going on, but I do know who knows everything that's going on. Because I have an us in our relationship, and many times I figure out what's going on when I preach. Hello, somebody, because he be talking your business. I don't know. And he gets you right where you are. No, I don't know I don't read your mail. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But there's an us. And when there is an us, oh, that means there's nothing that I face, even the things that surprise me, that I have to be concerned about, that I have to be worried about, because God said, let's go. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Let us go over to the other side. Hello, somebody. Are you ready to go? Hello, somebody. And really, one of the reasons why God don't tell us everything, you know what? One of the reasons why God don't tell us everything? Because we probably wouldn't ever get in the boat if he told us everything. Yeah. He'd be like, no, Lord, I'm not going through this, Lord. No! Hello, somebody. And a lot of times he don't tell us because if he tells us, if he told me everything I had to go through as a preacher trying to do the will of God in the beginning... No. And that's why some of you don't even want to accept your call to preach because you know, you sense it somehow. Hello, somebody. The drama that you may have to go through being a mouthpiece from God. Hello, somebody. Because you know, I'm the head here anyway. And you know what the devil goes for first? If you ever got into a fight, what do people go for first when they get in a fight? He said, hey, we're just attached to the head. Hello, somebody. Remember, you ain't got to worry about that hair. You see? But it's attached to the head. The head is one of the weakest places to be, the head. Hello, somebody. Yeah, you kill the head and the body will fall. And that's why men are not in our families anymore. Hello, somebody. And the family has fallen. Oh, and we have people that's trying to do the best that they can with all they can. And they think that they can be both mama and daddy. No, you can't be both mama and daddy. You be the best mama you can be. You be the best grandmama you can be. Hello, somebody. And allow God to take that place of that father. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But he said, let us go to the other side. Let us go to the other side. Psalms 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord was the heavens made. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. So when he said, let us go, there was the same voice that spoke in the beginning of existence that said, let there be. The same voice that spoke was the same voice that spoke and the creation was made ex nihilo, which means to make something out of nothing. It was that same voice that said, let us go. And they would see a little later that Jesus can make something out of nothing still, because they were amazed that even all the storms and the waters will do what many men won't do.
Right.
What's that?
Obey.
Don't you know when God's speaking to you, it's that same voice. Let us. That same voice when he's speaking to you, it's God. It's God. He said, let us. That same God that has all creation in his hands. Let us go. And God is saying to somebody here today that there is an us that you didn't account for in the circumstance, in the trials, in the tribulation. You didn't account for the us in this pop test. Because if there's an us, there is no test that you can't pass. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, let us go to the other side. God is saying that you can make it through this storm. Hello, somebody. Let me make it plain. God is saying that you can make it through this storm. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, you can make it through this storm. Say to your other neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, you can make it through this storm. In Jesus' name. Because he said, let us go. The other thing, as we look at point number two, let's grow. Let's grow. You say, preacher, where did you get grow from there? I'm glad you asked, because after they woke him up, was he panicking? Was he acting like Chicken Little? That the sky is falling? Hello, somebody. He just simply got up, and what did he do? He spoke to the storm. He spoke to the storm. That thing that they thought was about to take their lives, in an instant, in a second, Jesus spoke. Which tells us that when we're in a circumstance, when we're in a storm, all we've got to do is hold on until Jesus speaks. Go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise up in here. Hold on until Jesus or God speaks. Hold on. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, hold on until Jesus speaks. In Jesus' name. Hold on until Jesus speaks. Now it's going to take faith for you to hold on in a storm. Especially when your whole life is falling apart. And you've heard me say this plenty of times from the pulpit. The problem with us as Christians is that we don't like to get wet. Hello, somebody. We don't like to get wet. We don't like the trials. We don't like the tribulation. We don't want to be in a storm. How many of us woke up this morning and said, Lord, send me a storm that I may trust you more. Send me a storm that I may get to know you more. Send me a storm, Lord, because I'm gung-ho for you. Send me a storm. I may know you better. I'm going to, I was reading somewhere, either on Twitter or somewhere, they said something to the effect that they wanted God to move in a way that they have to, in such a way that only God can work it out, because then you learn how to trust him. Don't too many people pray that.
Put me in a situation where I have to trust you, and through me trusting you, I can wait and see you work and see you move. Oh, you put me in a situation that nobody will be able to see a way out and get glory from it.
Who prays that prayer? Let me ask you, who's willing to pray that prayer? You say, put your hand down, preacher. Because what happened, and why this is an issue of growth, is Jesus said, where is your faith? Where is your Jesus, wait a minute. I'm in the middle of the storm. The boat is filling up. It's not just any storm. I've been through storms before. I'm a pro at this thing. Jesus, I was born literally on this Sea of Galilee. I know this sea. I know what it takes to make a living from this sea. Jesus, this was not just any storm. All right. You mad at me because I woke you up?
Lord,
hello, somebody. Jesus woke up and rebuked him for not having faith. You haven't grown in it. You haven't grown in it. You've seen me do my work.
Well.
You're not just novice. You've been with me. You've walked with me. You've talked with me. You've seen me turn a happy meal into a feast.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Oh, you're right.
Hello, somebody. You've been with me. You know me. You've been in the church for 25 years, 30 years, for 40 years. Hello, somebody. Where is your faith? God is asking somebody this morning, where is your faith? Even in the midst of your soul, where is your faith? Don't you know who's on this boat? And I'd like to say this all the time. If Jesus is in your boat will what? Float. Not to say that there won't be any storms that won't come. Not to say that the boat won't take some water at a time in the midst of the storm. But if he's in your boat will float. And all you have to do, at the very least, you didn't have to wake Jesus up. You should have went and you should have got
real close.
Hello, somebody.
Right.
When the storm comes, oh, get next to him. Hello, somebody. Because maybe you won't be able to hear his word, but at the very least, you can hear him breathe. As long as he's alive, guess what? There is hope. Hello, somebody. That's why the old folks sung that song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Hello, somebody. God is saying to us, oh, in the middle of your storm, I said, let us go. God is saying to us, oh, let us grow.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Get next to, say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, get next to Jesus. Get next to Jesus. Get to know him. And if you can't hear his voice, hello, somebody. You can at least see him with your eyes. Hello, somebody. If you can't hear his voice, you better touch him. If you can't hear his voice, you better smell him. Hello, somebody. If you can't hear his voice, because even when there's a pop test in the class, most of the time the teacher is what? Right there. Right there. Hello, somebody. God is right there with you in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this tribulation. He's right there. He has taught you what you need to know to get through such a time as this. Let me tell you again. He's taught you what you need to know to get through such a time as this. So now it's time for you to grow.
Amen.
Hello. And Jesus is, and God is not like the seminary professor I had. He would give you an open test book and you still fail. Because guess what? There wouldn't be nothing on the test that was in the book. God's not like that. has prepared you for such a time as this. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God has prepared you for such a time as this. Grow in Jesus' name. He said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Matthew 17:20 says, he replied, because you have little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will what? It will move. Because what? Nothing will be impossible for you. Ooh, that's deep. That's deep. Situation you're facing, it's not impossible. You may be wet, you may be soaking wet. Hello, somebody. But you can make it through.
Yeah.
Go call up to Jesus. Oh, and disciples had him close. But I remember Job. Job didn't have Jesus right there next to him in the flesh. But Job still knew out of the midst of his trials, out of the midst of his tribulation, in the midst of everything that he'd gone on, in the midst of everything he lost. He lost his children. He lost his money. He lost his righteous standing. He lost everything. But in the midst of it all, he still had faith. Because he said, I know my Redeemer lives. Hello, somebody. Is there anybody here in the midst of the storm, soaking wet, can say, I know my Redeemer lives? Give God a hand clap of praise. I've been here in the midst of the storm. Oh, when it seemed like you're about to lose your life, can you raise your hand up and praise and say, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. All this is a pop test. This test will be over, and I'm going to pass this test, and I'm going to go more, grow more. Hello, somebody. Because really, that's what he's trying to get you to do, is to grow. Hello, somebody. We told you what happens to a child that doesn't grow. We accept that not in our regular lives, but we accept that in our church life. Hello, somebody. You can be up in here and you can't grow a bit. If a child is 4 years old and can't walk, we'll be very concerned.
Right.
Hello, somebody. We've got some 20, 30, 40, 50 years old people who can't walk. And it doesn't concern you. It concerns God. He says, it's time for us. I've got you in the middle of this storm because I want you to grow. I'm tired of you being the same way you used to be. I'm tired of you saying that, oh, my mama was this way, so I got to be this way. Hello, somebody. I'm tired of you saying that I can't change. It's just me. I can't change. It's my personality. It's my character. It's just me. I can't change. Oh, I cussed you out before I got saved, and I'll cuss you out now. Hello, somebody. Yeah, you got issues. It seems like you should have some shame. Hello, somebody. And the way some of you talk, especially out in the community, oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. Hello, somebody. Telling the church business out there in the middle of the community. And folk that don't even come to church calling folk up saying, hello, somebody. You should be ashamed. Hello, somebody. It's time for us to grow up. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, it's time to grow. In Jesus' name. It's time to grow. Let's grow. That's what this storm is for. The storm is not to destroy us. The storm is to motivate us to grow.
Right.
Hello, somebody. He said, just a little faith. You just have the faith of a mustard seed. I've talked about that before. A mustard seed is smaller than a sesame seed.
Right.
You can say to the mountains. And if you can't get that much, at least you can come before God and tell him the truth like that parent did because that baby that was being thrown everywhere in the water and the fire that was demon-possessed. And Jesus posed the question, if I can. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. At the very least, you'll get that little nibbit of mustard seed of faith. Lord, I believe, but help. by unbelief. Let's grow, let's grow, let's grow. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, let's grow. You can make it. You can make it, you can make it. At the gym, I started out lifting 70 pounds. At the gym, 70 pounds. Don't laugh at me, Deacon. Had to do what I could do.
Didn't want to be there in the first place.
But now I'm up to 130.
Praise the Lord.
I've grown. I've grown.
He said, that's skill weak, preacher. I'm lifting 250. Oh, 300 or something. Oh, but look at me last year doing this time.
I plan to grow. I plan not to be the same. Are you planning to grow in the spiritual realm? Are you planning to not be the same? Oh, God has. Oh, he has that weight on you. That weight on you, and many of you can be like me, and that weight seems like it's going to take me down. That weight, he got to weight on me, and it's pressing me down. It's pressing me down. That weight on me. And he's saying, oh, you can make it. You can do it. Press your way. You can make it. You can do it. Press your way. And before you know it, you'll be pumping that weight like it's nothing. Press your way. He's not going to take this trial away. He wants you to grow through this trial. Hello, somebody. He wants you to get next to him. He wants you all to know that God won't put on you more than you can take. As the old folk used to say, hello, somebody. Let's grow. Where is your faith? If we just get a mustard seed of faith, we can do the impossible in Jesus' name. Let's go and then build a church. Let's go and build a body of believers. Let's go and build marriages. Let's go and do the things that God is calling us to do for such a time as this. Oh, let's grow. Let's have enough faith to believe that even though I don't have the strength, even though I don't have the power, I've got a us relationship, and because I got an us relationship, that means that if I can manifest a mustard seed of faith in the God that I serve in Jesus, that he can help me through this time in Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here, up in here. Somebody needs some help up in here. Somebody needs some help. You got to grow, and when you know how to grow, you learn to speak to the storms. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
He had to speak to the storm. Some of you are speaking to the wrong. Hello, somebody. Some of you put people. I told you when I first came here about spiritual warfare. A lot of things that you're facing doesn't have anything to do with that person that's in your face. It doesn't have anything to do with your grandbaby. It doesn't have anything to do with your boss. It's behind the scenes. It's spiritual warfare. And when you learn to speak to the storms, you'll just speak to the storms and cut all this other mess out.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Argue, fussing and fighting and cussing and all that stuff. Speak to the storm. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, speak to the storm. And when you learn to speak to the storms, when you learn to grow, then you can get this good part here. It's glow. Let's glow. The text says in verse 25, where is your faith? He replied. He asked his disciples, in fear, this is where they were going. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this that he even commands the winds and the waters? And they obeyed. Who is this? Do you know who's in your boat? Do you know who you gave your life to when you got saved? Do you know? know in the storm. And you'll even be better blessed. Know right now before God even changed the circumstance and the situation. He said, Lord, change me right now before you change the circumstance. Give me enough faith to leave this place. Oh, and I can leave this place and I can praise him right now for what he's about to do. I can praise him right now. I can say hallelujah anyhow. Hello, somebody. Somebody better learn to say hallelujah anyhow when I don't understand. Hallelujah anyhow when I'm failing the pop test. Hallelujah anyhow when I don't have enough faith. Because if you do say hallelujah anyhow, really you do have enough faith. You have enough faith to say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I do know that you're going on. I don't know what's going on, but I do know that you're going on, Lord. And as a result, I'm going to trust you. As a result, I'm going to learn to grow and begin to, instead of waking you up, I'm going to begin to speak to the storm in Jesus' name. I'm going to begin to grow. I'm again to stop panicking. I'm again to stop talking to everybody except God. I'm going to begin to grow. And as I grow, I'm going to go. This means God's going to get to glory in my life. Hello, somebody. And people are going to look at my life and they're going to be amazed, because they're going to see how God worked in my life, so much so that they are amazed at what he has done. Hello, somebody. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. It's time for us. Oh, let's go. Let's grow and let's glow. When we began to glow, oh, the world will see. When we began to glow, the world will want this Jesus that we talk about. When we began to glow, oh, everybody will begin to hear about Jesus, so much so that they will think that he's alive. And well, they'll walk through those doors, look at the pulpit, and bypass that preacher that everybody tends to look to and be looking for Jesus. Hello, somebody. They'll walk up in this place and think that he's alive and well, because we're glowing so much. Oh, and we glow because we grow. We don't stay the same. We change. Hello, because of him. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God is saying to us as a church, come on, let's go. We got work to do. Let's go. We got work to do. Let's grow. I'm not going to tell you about every storm. Storms are going to happen.
Right.
And you, more than anybody else on planet Earth, should know about storms.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Yes. You know about storms? They're unpredictable. Siren will go off and nothing's coming, and the siren won't go off and the whole place get destroyed. Hello, somebody. There's going to be storms in this life. You're going to have troubles because the devil is on his job. I mean, he's on his job. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. Anybody had something the devil stole from them? The choir sung about it. Said, take it back. Stole, kill, lost a loved one, destroy. Hello, somebody. Somebody's in here know what it's like for the devil to destroy. But the devil can't win. Hello, somebody. And you can take it back. And you better get that authority and begin to speak to the storms. In Jesus' name. All eyes closed, heads bowed. Deacons, will you come? Jesus Christ told the disciples at the end of his life, let us go. He called a prayer meeting. In that prayer meeting, he began to pray, and the disciples couldn't pray because they hadn't grown. They fell asleep on him. He came and said, can you not pray for an hour? Just an hour could save your life. You're going through a storm right now. Give it an hour with God. Pray. Get closer to God. Pray. So he had to pray by himself because the people wouldn't pray. He couldn't get people to come to the prayer meeting. And when they were in the prayer meeting, they had fallen asleep. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But Jesus had to go on and pray by himself. And when he prayed, it wasn't a pretty prayer. He had to pray as he was praying. Oh, he was in so much turmoil that that sweat, drops of blood fell from his brow because of the agony of what he would have to go through. See, this wasn't a pop test for him. He knew that it was going to happen. He knew the pain that he was going to have to go through. This wasn't a pop test. This wasn't something that was done spontaneous. This was something that the Lord had set up and had planned for the redemption of the world.
Yes.
He had to pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when he prayed that prayer, he got up. The devil met him before he got out of prayer meeting. Be careful, people, who you meet when you leave this place.
Yes, sir.
Let me say that again, because that could help somebody.
That's good.
Be careful who you meet when you leave this place. The devil's trying to take away everything that the Lord is trying to give you. But they met him, and they took him and put him on trial. They tried him for crimes that he didn't commit. He was innocent. Has anybody ever been innocent? Jesus can relate. But he had to die. When he died, they put him in a borrowed tomb. And I'm so glad that he didn't stay in that borrowed tomb. For the Bible tells us that he got up on the third day with all power in his hands. He had to be crucified, but he got up. Somebody listening at the sound of my voice, you had to be crucified, but God is saying that you're going to get up. Hello, somebody. And when you get up, you're going to be able to speak to the storms in your life. If there's someone here today, all eyes closed, heads are bowed, saints are praying. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want you to come forward right now and give your life to Jesus Christ. Because the storm that you need to speak to this morning is a storm of the unpardonable sin. God can forgive you for anything except the rejection of Jesus Christ. It's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You need to get your life right with God. You come forth and say, I'm going to give my life to Christ. And maybe somebody else here today, you need to be baptized. You've accepted him, but you haven't been baptized. You're here today, and you're a saint, but you're going through a storm, and you're saying, preacher, pray for me.
Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off,
we just
want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms. And his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned, come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and
rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem again. We're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This is Pastor Mike Lee Tom, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.